Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's your boy, listen to him. The Mets are up. First shout out to that. It's the Cornerman Radio, man. With me, that's me, Flawless. And
always,
tonight we have... What up, Flawless? And we,
yeah,
we
what's
have...
going on? Yeah, before we start, I need to make sure I plug this. Like, obviously, this is Boxing Radio, but obviously, people who don't know, I'm plugging myself here, and like, this is why we do this. Obviously, people who know, I'm a grime MC, I'm a battle rapper as well, and over here, Complex Magazine, which you have over in the States, have a UK version over here, and they put up an article of, like, 15 grime MCs to watch out for, and they mentioned me and my brother Tox as well. But the reason why I mention this on here is because they mentioned the Cornerman Radio in the article as well. So basically, I'm saying shout out to Complex UK because they plugged. Not only did they support me and whatnot and put me in the article, they also plugged the Cornerman Radio. So shout out to them. Like I said, go on my Twitter. You all should follow me on Twitter. It's my pinned tweet. So go and read the article because it's a good read. Well, yeah, I just
definitely
thought we'd start with that.
I checked it out too. It was dope.
Oh, did you check it out? All right, man. We'll talk off air. Bye. But yeah, man, shout out to Complex UK. And I'm going to tweet them and let them know. I'll give them a shout out on the radio. But yeah, off the music, back onto the boxing. Go on, Jesse, continue.
Yeah, freaking whatchamacallit. Tonight, we got no stranger to boxing radio, man. Created on the grind boxing back in the day. ATG Radio. And now he's coming back. Helping us out, big time Timmy. What up, big time?
Hey, not much, man. Just glad to be back on the radio. It's been a long, long 2.5 years.
Oh, man, it's good to have you on, man. Welcome to the most unprofessional boxing radio show you'll ever hear, man. I hope you enjoy
it. Yeah, we get a little.
It's the best time,
bro.
Oh,
man, 100%. We look forward to having you on. Well, yeah, obviously, Jesse, if everyone don't know, Jesse's a big Triple G fan now, innit? So we might as well start with Jesse's boy, Triple G, innit? And I'll let Jesse was at the fight. So
Okay. Let's do PBC first. First of all, I hope Pitchard Cologne gets better. Terrell Williams with that. This fight was just freaking bizarre for anybody who caught it. Did you see it, Big Time? Do you know the the condition on Pritchard at the moment?
From what I'm hearing, he's still in a coma and unfortunately unresponsive, but you know, he's got some time. I talked to one of my contacts in Puerto Rico that's close to the camp, and he's still in the same situation as he was last night. He's in that coma, but everybody's hoping he's going to pull it out. I mean, he's in for the fight of his life right now.
Right. Damn. But the fight was bizarre. And, you know, shout out to Terrell Williams. You know, Terrell. So, but, you know, they're going at it. And, you know, they're going at it. I'm even surprised he's in a coma because it didn't end that in a knockout. So, they're going at it. And then, you know, Cologne gets a little frustrated and hits him with a low blow. Ref deducts 2 points. Later on in the fight, you know, he goes, Cologne hits him. Williams hits him in the back of the head, gets a point deducted. Then the fight is going back and forth. Pritchard finally gets knocked down. I guess this is where the coma got kicked in. And then when he goes to his corner starts taking off his gloves, saying they thought the fight was over. But the ref called it at that fight because they say he's trying to get extra time. Next thing I know, when I get home from the Triple G fight, all I see on Twitter is, you know, pray for Pritchard, pray for Pritchard. So, you know, definitely pray for him. Keep him in your prayers and shout out to him. And, you know, hopefully he gets better. But, you know, it was a bizarre fight. And shout out to Terrell Williams for winning. And, you know, we'll keep a close eye on Pritchard. So, you know, I really do want him to get better. And all boxing fans, I think we should just, you know, like I said, keep him in our prayers right now. And the main event, I personally think Felix Diaz got robbed from Lamont Peterson. You know, it was in a, Then where was it?
You
in Virginia?
And your rubbers,
Washington?
Man. You love your rubbers.
Well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a blatant robbery. I mean, it was close enough.
Whoever
scored
a 9-3 needs to be put in jail.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, whoever judged that, it did some real horrible judging. But, you know, I thought Felix Diaz won. How did you have a big time?
I had Felix Diaz edging it, but it was one of those close fights. Peterson had home field advantage, so I expected Peterson to eke out a decision. But like I said, that 9-3 scorecard was just completely ludicrous.
Right, and Felix Diaz is dope too. So besides all that, yeah, I gave it to Felix Diaz, but you know, I'm not mad at the Lamont win. So then we go to a fight.
When it's a
Chocolito
close fight,
was definitely...
when it's a close fight, you can't. You know what it's like. We've seen many. There'll be more fights like that, and we've seen many fights like that where if it's close, you can't really argue which way it goes.
Of course.
Yeah.
But
it's hard. Well, it's hard to. You can, but it's hard to.
Right. Right.
So then
I actually meet up with Boxing Eye and stuff. He brings a few people. It was fun meeting him. Yo, shout out to Raphael.
I seen
it was cool, man.
Yeah, man, I seen him. Oh, yeah, shout out to Raphael because he also tweeted me as well. Sorry to go back into the music and whatnot. But, yeah, he tweeted me, told me that I need to come out to the States for a fight and whatnot. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
man,
we met up with me and Boxing Eye were saying that. We're like, damn, man, the only person missing right now is Flawless.
Yeah, man.
So,
serious, man. Like, nah, you made that happen, man. I'll get out of there. You made that happen.
It was dope, though. And then Triple G went in there, did his thing, destroyed this dude. I thought it was going to be over before 5, but Triple G wanted to have fun. You know, hey, he
oh,
got one
down.
Too. That's why we're going to have Griffin, Montel Griffin on soon, too.
Okay.
And, you know, to get his take on that. But, you know, he basically just wanted to have some fun with him and then just ends it.
What was the atmosphere like?
When he needed to. Yo, it was crazy.
What was the atmosphere?
Triple D
fan. It was electric. Yeah, okay.
It was electric, bro. And, yo, I was telling this to Boxing Eye, man. Like, look, baseball teams, basketball teams, all these fans are there for the team. Yo, when the post-interview, and he sold out the Garden. That's not an easy sellout, neither. Yo, Tim, you know how big the Garden is. You know, Flawless is overseas. Yo, that's not an easy sellout. This dude sold out the Garden. Every seat was packed, and everybody sat there listening to that post-fight interview with Kellerman. Yo, I can't wait till we get a Canelo. I can't wait till we get a Cotto fight from this dude. But, yo, this dude's magnitude of star power, it's there already. Everybody's saying he's becoming a star. He's already a star. Yo, 19,000 people were in attendance for this guy. For this guy.
I'm
maybe
interested to see how many pay-per-views it sold.
That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if the pay-per-view. I doubt the pay-per-view numbers did that well.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it was honestly, I don't care what they tried to sell us. It was a shitty fight on paper. Lemieux's already shown trouble with his chin against Rubio. He got outboxed by an old, past his prime, Joaquin Masselin. And then he got a couple wins. I mean, he beat Rosado. But that's not saying much at this point in time. And he gets a title shot. Like, everybody was making it sound like, oh, he's got this power. And he does. He's got power, but in no way, shape, or form has he ever shown anything that he would be able to compete with Triple J.
That's true. I think everyone knew that. Like, it was a mismatch. It was a mismatch from the gym. Like, people tried to build it up, but it's amazing how that works in boxing. A certain top boxers couldn't get away with that. But because it's Triple G, and he's a fan favorite, he can get away with that. Because I keep saying this, like, I'm not a fan of Triple G, but I can't say how good he is yet because he ain't fought nobody like that yet. He ain't been in with anyone where he's not a strong favorite. He's not been in with anyone
who's
where
he's not. Who's Triple G's PR person? Who's Triple G's public relations person? Because he's got a big Mexican fan base, yet next thing you know, he's in the back with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Donald Trump got booed out the building, by the way. Yo, we got...
yeah, you was booing him, wasn't you, Jesse?
Hell yeah, man. That guy's a racist. He's a billionaire. Yo, I do have the guest of the hour, though. One of the guests of the hours today. Mr. Montel Griffin. What's going on, Montel?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sitting watching the Patriots, and we down at halftime, so I'm a little upset. We gotta get together in the second half.
Okay, there you go. So, did you happen to catch the fight last night?
Yeah, I saw Triple G.
All right. Roy Jones had first lost to you for the DQ in a very close fight when it was stopped anyway before the DQ. So it wasn't only like the DQ was the only reason that loss would have happened. But when Triple G hit Lemieux while he was down, do you think that there should have been more of a replication to that?
Our situation was a little bit different. Triple G caught him with a good body shot. Lemieux kind of hesitated, and, you know, he went down off the body shot. And, you know, as fighters, you see a guy right there, you get a free shot. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fighters try to take it. But between me and last night was Roy Jones didn't knock me down. I took a knee, I stepped back, I took a knee. I got some distance and some space. Took a knee, looked at the referee to catch his count, and then he hit me twice. He hit me once, and then he loaded up the second punch. It was just totally different from last night.
Right. So you didn't. So you think people are more or less overreacting if they're saying that it should have been a stop.
You know what? I was thinking that the referee could have maybe, gave him 5 minutes to recover. I thought they should have gave him 5 minutes to recover, and maybe just took a point. I mean, Triple G had won every round, so it wouldn't have bothered him. But I wouldn't have had a problem with him taking a point and giving him 5 minutes to recover. I remember the fight when Tua hit Rockman after the bell. I thought they should have gave him, some little time to recover. He had to come right back out. Still hurting, got caught, ended up losing. But, it wasn't fair because he got hit after the bell. So the fight last night, Triple G was winning so convincingly. I don't think, he was trying to be dirty or nothing, but the referee could have handled it a little bit different.
All right, so, we have this debate. Flawless, he thinks of him as Little G. He thinks that he's scared of Ward.
Nah, I'm just clowning around with it. I love winding up. What's it called? I love winding up Triple G fans. That's all it is, isn't it? That's all it is. I think he'd fight Ward. 100%. But go on. Continue, Jesse.
Yeah. So I believe he's the real deal. I think Big Time Timmy is finally seeing the light. On Triple G, given being the real deal. Actually, I didn't get your full opinion on that, Tim. You got to answer: is he the real deal? But what's your take, Montel? Is he the real deal, or is he just a hype job?
I mean, he cleaned up the middleweight division. We had a fight December 5th. Danny Jacobs fighting Peter Quillen. I would love to see the winner fight Triple G. Everybody talking about Andre Ward. Andre Ward is not a middleweight; he's a super middleweight. It'd be a good fight, but we got two middleweight contender champions that's gonna fight each other, which I give a hand to them for stepping up and fighting each other. And like I say, if the winner fight Triple G, it'll be something that you dream of in boxing.
All
for the best fighters to continue to fight each other.
Go ahead.
I got a quick question for you. I know you heard a lot about it on Facebook last night, but what were your thoughts on Roy Jones bringing you up again during the telecast?
It just let me know I'm relevant. I mean something to him. He put my name in a rap song. He talk about me every chance he get. He bring it up all the time. He just let me know that I mean something to him, that I was a good fighter. And, you know what I'm saying, it showed me how much respect he has for me. If I was just anybody, you know, he probably wouldn't use my name or whatever, but I mean something to Roy Jones, and, you know, he keep bringing my name up. So the second fight, the fans that saw me losing the first round, never saw anything that went on in the back. I was not allowed to warm up for the fight. HBO stabbed me in the back, but, you know, that's the past and it's over. But that doesn't bother me at all. Like I said, I see Roy from time to time, and I asked him, I said, man, why are you always, you know, talking garbage about me on TV? And he just started laughing, that he don't mean no harm. So I don't really bother. That don't bother me. Like I said, what's a comment? A bad press is good press. Whatever they say, if you're bringing up no name, it's a good thing, regardless of good or bad.
That's true, though. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nah, I was just saying, I was agreeing with that sentiment that, all press is good press. At least they're talking about you. That does mean that you are relevant. It's true. Without doubt.
Right.
I was in attendance, so I kind of missed what he said. So what did he say? What was the
Actually, where I was at, I was watching the fight at a bar, so I couldn't really hear the commentary.
Who said Jesse?
Everybody was
what
calling
you talking
me
about?
And hit me on Facebook and, you know, text me and everything. So
what Roy Jones had said when he mentioned Montel Griffin's name, what exactly was that? Okay. Tim, do you know?
Everybody just called me saying, they said that actually Jim Lovely brought it up. And Roy's just, you know, piggyback off that. But, you know, like
right.
I said, that's a pad. We fought 97, man. That's all with.
Yeah.
But, for my name to keep coming up, he's just keeping me relevant. You know what I'm saying? He keeps my name fresh.
He's probably not.
He's nine, so.
Probably not fully over it yet. You know, your last match was August 19, 2011. Can you give us an update on what you've been doing now and boxing?
I've been training for 2 months. I stopped eating meat. I lost 17 pounds. I've been sparring. I actually sparred Andres from Faro for his fight the other night. I sparred him for 3 weeks. I held my own, you know, saying it. It wasn't, you couldn't tell that it was a 45-year-old man in the ring. I sparred a kid that's 70 years younger than me and, you know, who was in tip-top shape. I had my own. It boosted my confidence to know that maybe I could come back and do this again. So I talked to a promoter, Bobby Hitz here in Chicago. I was thinking maybe November 25th, but, I want to take my time and do it right. So he has a show in February, and I'm just going to keep continuing to train. Keep, you know, losing weight, see, you know, if I'm going to fight at Cruiser light heavy, and just see what happens, man. I feel real good about myself. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, in boxing, when it's over, it's over. I look at things totally different now because, you know, back then I was young, I took things for granted. Now I'm just happy that I still have a chance, I still have an opportunity. My reflexes, my defense, everything is still there. So I get my conditioning together and get this weight together. But, you know what I'm saying, me working with Fun Flowers just let me know where I stand.
That's what's up, man. So how about any boxers that you're impressed with? Is there anybody that stands out to you that you say, okay.
Oh, the kid Roman Gonzalez last night was put on a remarkable performance. I like the Crusher. I think he's complete, you know what I'm saying, at light heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
You got Crawford at 140. I feel like Danny Garcia, the move at 47, I like Khan. Boxing is in good hands, man. It's a lot of good up-and-coming stars. a lot of good, you know, good guys come up, and I love this PBC, how we having fights almost every week, and letting, you know, send the fans see these guys. I just want to say I'm sorry about the kid that fought last night. I think he fought on a Peterson card. I heard he had brain swelling or something. I hope, you know, so I pray that for him and his family, I hope everything worked out with him. That was a pretty good fight. He looked like a real skillful young kid, so I hope, you know what I'm saying, hope he be okay.
Yeah, I also think, like, when something, like, happens like that, too, people don't realize how dangerous it is, and that you guys really do put, you know, Pritchard Cologne, you know, who's still in, you mentioned it earlier, who's still in a coma right now. But, you know, every time you guys get in that ring, that you really do put your life.
Take a chance on our life, yeah.
You know, and I think people don't really realize that, like, how dangerous
it is. I think
they
just take it for granted, you know, thinking that we tough enough to handle it. But just like the kid, Abdul, the heavyweight from New York, was Abdul Rahman, how do you say his name? The kid who fought Mike Perez, who got hurt, you know what I'm saying? I hope everything worked out with him and his family.
Right. Yo, Big Time, you there?
Yeah, I'm
here, sir.
So we got
the episode.
What else you got, Big Time?
I mean, the one.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? All right. So the one fight
that they're talking about.
All right, hold on for a sec. The one fight that they're talking about signing, and it's, you know, Kathy Duva from Main Event saying it will be, the winner will be crowned pound for pound number one. I wanted to get your take on this matchup. And that's Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev.
Right now, because he's been so inactive, I would love to see Andre Ward fight again. I just think, you know, all the time off, Kovalev is a real deal, and he'll be moving up in weight. Pardon?
Sergey came out today, just like an hour ago, seeing an article and saying that Andre Ward's going to be the co-main event.
They're
saying that he's got a free fight deal with HBO, and that they're looking at the end of that deal. The last third fight will be him versus Kovalev late in 2016. That's what they're saying, supposedly.
Yeah.
That's what the article
I'm looking
anyway.
Forward to that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I heard that he's having problems making 168, so, you know, so if you move up, get another couple of fights, you know, get the rust off and come back and, you know, have a good fight.
Yeah,
with
about that. That's what I'm waiting on. I want to see that fight.
Now there's a big fight coming up, man. I personally consider it fight of the year. We've been asking every guest that come on who they got for this fight. Cotto Canelo.
I love both fighters. Cotto been around. I got mad respect for him. I just think I gotta lean towards the kid. I think Canelo. I don't even care about the Floyd Mayweather fight. There's a young kid who wasn't ready at the time. But how can you turn $2 million down? But I gotta lean towards him against Cotto. Cotto, great fighter, but you know he's been in a lot of war, took a lot of punishment. And Canelo was a young, strong kid, and I think that's gonna be the difference is his age. And I think I tell everybody he's the sickest Mexican I've ever seen in my life.
You know, it's funny too because I think 90% of the people that we talk to, I think me and Flawless are the only ones that have Cotto. Like 90% kind of say the same deal. Like, they don't really count Cotto out because of the experience, but they're leaning towards Canelo. I think that's like 90%.
That 10 years make a big difference, man. And you know, Cotto took a lot of punishment with Pacquiao, with Margarito twice, with Floyd. You know what I'm saying? He had some tough fights.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it could be a wear and tear. I kind of feel like Cotto's going to retire, whether win or lose. But
yeah, because I really don't think Cotto really wants to fight in middleweight. I don't think he wants to fight none of the big middleweights. And, you know, I don't blame him because he's not that big of a guy. But I see Canelo growing into middleweight. I see Canelo being able to fight Triple G. I say about 2-3 months. I say by next year, 2016, end of the year. He's never fought over 155, so I wouldn't rush him. I think he should, you know, grow into the weight. And I would love to see that fight.
Right. No, you know, they asked Triple G about that fight yesterday, too, and the crowd went crazy. That's definitely a fight to be made. But, I mean, it's going to be a good one. Like I said, I possibly think that it's going to be fight of the year. Does Floyd stay retired, in your opinion, or?
We will see Floyd Mayweather again.
We will.
I actually got a chance to talk to him before his last fight. I just asked him, I said, you got to go for another 50. And he told me, like, man, I don't have love of the game no more. No, I said, well, when you don't have the love of the game, you got to walk away. He said, man, I've been lost the love of the game. I've been doing it for the money. And I said, well, what would it take for you to fight again? He said, $150 million. And I said, you will get it. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, if it's Khan, if it's Pacquiao Part 2, if it's, you know, the winner Canelo Cotto, he will fight. I told everybody we will see him in September next year.
I think he's gonna
take a break in May. You know what I'm saying? And rest up, and then we will see him next September. Mexican holiday.
Versus a Keith Thurman, most likely.
You know what? I don't know if that fight would be big enough. I think Khan, the winner of Canelo and Cotto and Pacquiao, I think marketing-wise and money-wise, I think it'll make more sense. I don't think Thurman can draw the fans that Floyd needs to make the money that he wants.
I agree. I think if Canelo can dominate Cotto especially, then a rematch would make sense in September.
Right. All you got to do is he beat Cotto, if he knock him out, if he dominate him, all you got to do is say, Floyd, 5 minutes once before. You know what I'm saying? I had to catch, you know, make a catch weight. You know what I'm saying? Or even they might fight at 155. And, you know, Floyd could fight for that middleweight title and have that on his legacy also.
That could be what Floyd needs to motivate him. Shot at that middleweight title.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If he fight for that middleweight title at 155, I can see that happening.
Yeah, I remember I was half expecting when Jermaine Taylor won that portion of the middleweight title against Sam Salomon, I was half expecting Heyman to make that matchup.
Right. I mean, it's so much stuff they could do, man. There's so many good fighters out there. I don't know if it'll sell, but I could see him fighting Danny Garcia at welterweight. You know what I'm saying? There's so much stuff you could do.
Yeah, I like Danny.
It's true. Yeah, you're a big fan of Danny Garcia, though, aren't you, Jesse?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Danny got a bum rap for, you know, a few fights. He didn't look too dominating, but
right.
Danny Garcia has had a hell of a career, man. He's got a hell of a resume. He fought 4 or 5 great fighters back-to-back-to-back-to-back and beat them all. And, you know, maybe he had problems making weight and, maybe he'll look better at 147, but like, you know, like you said, you got Porter, you got Thurman, you got Danny. They're all sitting around, so, you know, they all got to match up and fight each other. So I love to see Broner against Crawford, and I love to see Thurman against Porter. I think both fights we can see. We got Quinlan fighting against Danny Jacobs. I would love to see Warner fight Triple G. So it's so much stuff going on. I love the PBC. I love what boxing is headed right now. We got fights on every week. And all we can do is just get better and better.
Right. Al Heyman kind of seems like the savior of boxing right now.
I mean, you know, so I don't understand how so many people are against him, but I think he's doing a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah. No, he's doing a great job. You know, like you said, the PBC boxing is exciting. And, what it's on Spike, NBC.
Right, you got fights on at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Back, I don't know, you guys probably not old enough you know, when I was a kid, you know, I was watching World Wide World Sports. It was fights on 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, Ray Leonard, Muhammad Ali. So, you know, going back to that. So, I like that.
Right, and I think a lot of things that people like about it, too. I mean, you know, nowadays everybody does have an HBO Showtime, but it's the fact that it's on regular network television. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah, you can't
go to the Applebee's and stuff. It could be showing there, you know, and it's just cool that it's on Channel 4, one of the regular channels, you know, where NBC and stuff. So yeah, I think Al Heyman is doing a great job. But thanks a lot for coming on and joining us today, Montel. Anything else you want to plug in real quick, or?
Just want to let all my fans know, man. I'm gonna give them all, man. Let's try to see if we can get back out there and, you know, make some damage in boxing. I mean, at 45, I feel real good. Haven't took too much punishment, too much wear and tear on my body. So hopefully we can put something together. And you know, if the fight is made for February, man, maybe we gotta have him back on. We can talk about it.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I would love to have you back.
Thanks for coming up, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And hey, and I also have a radio show on WZONRadio.com, the internet radio, called the Ice Sports Show every Tuesday from 4 to 6 Central Time. So if you get a chance, you guys can check it out.
Where's
the,
check it out.
Say it one more time? Yeah.
It's WZONRadio.com. Internet radio. You can download the app.
Check it out.
You can listen to it on your phone, you know what I'm saying, on your computer. And,
no, we'll definitely listen to into it. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we'll get the details off you, and then we'll make sure we plug it when we come on air as well and promote it on air for you.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. That'll be good.
No problem. Right, yeah, we'll plug it for you on air, definitely. Thanks for coming
on,
man. Appreciate it.
Big time. Anything else? Any last things you want to tell Montel? Or?
Thank you for coming on. Everybody out there in radio land, have a good night.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Jesse, we got a caller on the line as well. All right. I'm going to plug the caller in now. 1 second.
Yeah,
718. You live on the Conrad Radio? 718.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? It's Mike Marshall.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Mike? You're Iron Man.
What's happening?
Mike, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
What's going on, man? So what's up, Mike, man? Did you catch the fight yesterday? We were just talking to Montel, man. What's your opinion actually on did you catch the fight, the Triple G fight last night?
Yeah, of course. My thoughts on the fight, on the Golovkin fight, I mean, I knew that was going to happen. You know, like, I watched the Lemieux fight with Rubio, and how, you know, basically Lemieux gave up. And like I said, you know, a leopard never changes his spots. So, I mean, I knew that was going to happen, you know, with Golovkin's relentless pressure. He's just like another Marvin Hagler, you feel me? So I knew that was going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't say he's Marvin Hagler. I mean, like, he has the potential to be like a Marvin Hagler with all that pressure he put on people. So, you know, the only way to beat Golovkin is to back him up. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that Lemieux could fail to do. And I knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable.
Mike,
what happened, you
were supposed to fight on Saturday, too. What happened? You scared that opponent to death at the weigh-in or something?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Did you hear Big Tom to me?
No, I didn't hear what he said.
Repeat that.
I said you were supposed to fight on Saturday. What happened? You scared the opponent to death at the weigh-in or something?
Yeah, well, actually what happened, we showed up to the weigh-in, you know, and the guy never showed up. We weighed in. I weighed in at 173 pounds with clothes off. that after the guy didn't show up, you know, they were scrambling to find another opponent. His name is Will Williams. He's 0-2. And I said, okay, well, we're waiting for an opponent. And so now the promotion is scrambling to find another opponent last minute, whatever the case may be. I was ready to fight, whatever. As long as I'm waiting, I don't give a shit. Can I curse?
Yeah, of course, man. This is the most unprofessional boxing radio show. Yeah, say what you want to say in it.
Don't fucking curse on him, man.
Jesse, shut the fuck up, man. Let the man talk.
Yeah, like, you know, after I really didn't care, man. I was more concerned about, you know, putting food in my body at the time. So I said, man, let me weigh in for these niggas. And so I could, you know, just get ready. But the dude never showed up. Apparently, he didn't even board the plane. So the next day or whatever, they a guy named Borgard Washington was supposed to fight a kid named Nathan Miller. And, you know, something happened with Borgard, and he didn't get approved, and they wanted me to fight him. Now, I'm 0-1-1 knockout. He's 6-0. So I'm like, you know what? Something is telling me to take it. You know, I was like, yo, let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, I came here to fight. I done sold tickets in the Mohegan Sun. All my people's from New York. Like, they coming from 2 hours away. Like, come on. Like, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, I obviously didn't care. So my team was like, we talked about it. And then, like, 5-10 minutes later, they found out who I was and what I, you know, what I could do. And they was like, nah, Mike, you know, we're not taking it. And then all of a sudden, Borgard Washington magically got approved to fight the next night. So it was like, I was like, man, you know, it's crazy sometimes. But I realized that it's the beginning of my career, so I can't really, you know what I mean? I can't really say too much. But right now, I'm in the process of calling Nathan Miller out for December 18th. He's 7-0
okay.
Right now. And I'm in the process of, you know, making that happen. Even though I'm 1-0, he's 7-0. We can make it happen. You know what I'm saying? This is boxing. At the end of the day, you know what I mean? It's a fight. Like, I don't understand why these fighters are scared to get money. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the business to cash checks. I'm not in the business to, you know what I mean, play around and say, oh, this guy's too tough. You know, in the amateurs, I had to fight the number one guy more than once. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh, I knew I was fighting him. They matched me up the same day. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that's right, man.
I had to, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I had to fight the number one guy. Yeah, I had to fight the top guy. I had to fight whoever. I didn't know. I found out the same day. So why are these fighters doing this now at a professional level? I mean, you already got a losing record. Come and get your ass whooped and get a check. You know what I'm saying? Come get your ass whooped, get a check.
That.
We both leave home happy. You know what I'm saying? That's my whole thing, but you know, I'm not trying to, you know, make myself the toughest guy in the world, because everybody is acceptable to any punch. You know what I mean? I can get a punch thrown at me; it can end my career. You know what's that kid's name that got hit in the back of the head yesterday? On Saturday.
Yeah, talking about.
Oh
yeah.
Pitcher Cologne.
Yeah. Yeah, Cologne, man. I'm heartfelt right now because that's crazy. Like,
I was wondering where the coma stemmed from. It's when he got back hit in the back of the head from the
fight,
right?
Of course. Especially you putting your body through that much. You putting your body through that much over for, like, well, how many rounds was it? Like 10 rounds? Eight or ten rounds, and then
was supposed to go 12, right? But they took off the gloves at 10, and that's when the fight stopped. Yeah.
You doing 10 rounds and you getting hit in the punch in the back of the head? Like, that's ridiculous, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. And the ref don't take no points. As soon as that's the most, like, the top of the head and the back of the head should be the most important areas. Like, you know what I mean? And the balls, of course. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the spots where the ref should be more attentive to in the clinch like that, because, you know what I mean? Stuff like that can end a boxer's career. They can end a boxer's life. You know what I mean? That's serious, man. I mean, my pro debut, I got hit in the back of the head, man. That shit don't feel good. It don't. And the dude kept doing it. I didn't foul him back because eventually I knocked him out. But you know what I'm saying? Like when it did happen, it hurt. And I'm like, shit, man, the ref ain't saying nothing. He ain't telling he did it more than once. I'm like, come on, these referees got to do a better job with the back of the head situation. That shit is
right. That's gotta be the worst. Yeah, that's gotta be the worst part, being in a fight and he's continuously doing it and the ref's not doing anything. Like, yeah, that's gotta
word,
be the worst.
So that's why.
Uh-huh.
So now you got your fight in December, right? You said.
Yeah. With CES.
Okay.
What's the date, December?
Yo, Michael. What happened?
Nah, you
what'd
said
you say
what was it? December the 18th.
Yeah, supposedly, yes. December 18th
okay.
On CES car.
Okay.
Yo, Mike,
yeah,
I have a boy that's a cruiserweight, man. You might know him. He's 2-0 right now. David Sparks?
Yeah. I know Sparks.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's my dude. Yeah, he did a...
Yeah.
I used to do battle events. He came in with some belts and battled here, man.
Oh, hey, he rap
battled. Yeah, he rap battled, man.
Sparks is my man. He's a good dude, man. I like him.
Yeah.
Please do.
He was getting trained by Zab's father. You know, yeah. And would we know you? Who are you training? Who are you working with? Have you sparred with anybody or?
Oh man, as far as. You know, gym work. I mean, my resume as far as that is extensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done been in the ring with everybody in New York. You know what I'm saying? And it's just real long, man. It's no homo. But right now I'm working with Tito Vargas. Tito Vargas. He's you know, his son is ranked number one in the nation. He's about to make his pro debut or whatever. But in the amateurs. So right now I'm working with him. He's a good coach. You know, my management team, Richard Roman of Havoc Boxing, Andre Rozier. Andre Rozier is my uncle. And so, you know, stuff like that. And by being with him, I've been in numerous training camps with Danny Jacobs and Curtis Stevens and all those names, man. So many names, man. I've been in camp with a lot of guys in my, you know, my boxing career. So, you know, and I just turned pro. So, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I know a lot of people, man. It's just as far as, you know, fighters and being in the ring with them. But the list is long, man. It's so many names, man. I'm not even going front.
Speaking of Curtis Stevens, he was pretty vocal last night about the fight. What would you think about a matchup with him and David Lemieux?
I think, well, see, all right, Curtis is family. And I was just talking to Curtis. And, you know, I think if Curtis, it's up to Curtis. It's up to Curtis. That's how talented he is. Like, it's up to Curtis. Curtis could beat anybody. Curtis could have beaten Golovkin that night. I was at that fight. I was front row. He could have beaten Golovkin that night. But it was somewhere where he just was on the ropes. And when he got on the ropes, and I was telling him, Golovkin can't fight going backwards. And when Curtis was pushing him back with them power shots, it was like, oh, shit, yo, he had him. You know what I'm saying? And he just, like, he let it dwindle away. So I was like, yo, man, If the Curtis that I know shows up, he could beat David Lemieux. You know what I'm saying? If the Curtis that was fighting in the Dom fight and all that shows up, you know what I'm saying? It could go either way. You know what I'm saying? I'm never gonna say Curtis gonna lose, but you know what I mean? Like, I think the Curtis I know will smash all these dudes, bro. Like, real talk, like, David Lemieux can't stand a chance. Like, I think David Lemieux is just overrated. You feel me? I felt that he was a paper champion. No disrespect to him, but, you know, I felt that he was a paper champion. You know, I mean, he's a puncher and everything. You know, he has a puncher's chance. But I don't really see no real skill with him. Anybody with real skill could beat David Lemieux, a la GGG. GGG has some skills. He could cut the ring off. You know, he could do certain things to you without you even knowing. So, you know, That's how I feel about David Lemieux.
Even experience can beat David Lemieux.
Keeping it real, man, the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that still. I respect that,
exactly,
man. I like that a lot, man.
Yeah.
Too many people try to be PC, man. I like the fact that you just say how you see it and whatnot.
I watch boxing, man. Like, I watch boxing even before I even got into the sport. Like, I watch boxing. So it's like once I started learning and what, you know, you got to be creative in the ring. You just can't be so basic. You feel me? And, like, when you start seeing things, you see the science behind it, you start learning about leverage of the punches and when to use your jab and all that, you can start breaking fighters down. You see different styles. And then a lot of my experience came from being in training camp with Danny Jacobs. Danny, you know, I've been in two world-class training camps. So it's like with Danny. So it was like everything I learned as far as boxing came from Danny. You feel what I'm saying? My style may not show it, but sometimes I could switch it up. You know, I'm kind of upset that I didn't go really far in the amateurs because I never had an amateur style. And that was because of Danny, from learning from Danny, like, you know. And, you know, it's basic stuff like that. So it was, you know, it was cool.
What's your take on this upcoming Danny Jacobs, Peter Crone fight?
You know, I'm close friends with both guys, and I don't really want to make no predictions, but I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be real competitive. I think we're looking at the Hagler Hearns of this era, as far as New York City boxing. I think we're looking at the Hagler Hearns of Brooklyn boxing. So it's really going to be good. I think that, you know, y'all are in for a treat, you know, really, really. So I can't really give no, I don't want to give in a prediction because I don't want no ill will. You understand what I'm saying? Because, like, I can sit here and talk, you know, I can sit here and talk shit, but I got to see them guys. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I can sit here for real, it's real talk. Like, I can sit here and say,
true.
Oh, he's going to win, and he's going to win. But I got to go in the gym because shows up. Yeah, I got to go in the gym, and I got to look these guys in the face. I got to talk to them. Like, yo, what's good? You know what I'm saying? I got to have normal conversations with them. So I can't be one way on the radio and another way in their face. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So respectfully, I just say, you know, and I've been asked this more than once by, you know, different, you know, interviews and stuff like that. Like, I can't, like, I just, you know, rather not speak on it. But, you know, I can't say what type of fight it's going to be. You know what I mean?
No, we hear that. Because obviously we sat on this radio, we can talk all the shit we want, but like you said, you have to see that. You have to see them and whatnot and speak to them and see them face-to-face. So, yeah, I get that, man.
Exactly.
I like having you on, man. I like how you talk and whatnot. We're definitely going to have you back
on,
man. Definitely. I like the straight
talk.
Thank you. I mean, I love that.
thank you.
Yeah, man.
You know, you made your debut at Resorts World. I'm right there too. I'm in Long Island right here.
Okay,
all right. Yeah. Whatchamacallit? So you made your debut, man. So how different is it a pro fight from an amateur? Is it like worlds apart?
You know what? That's a good question. I would say it's very different. It's very different. Because I didn't really, and it's funny because, like, I didn't really adapt to fighting, like, an amateur until I got into the pros. I mean, not adapt, but I didn't really understand fighting like an amateur until I got into the pros. Like I said, I've always been fighting like an amateur. I mean, I've always been fighting like a pro ever since I started amateur boxing. So it was like I had 30 fights. You know what I'm saying? I had more losses than I had wins because of my style. It wasn't necessarily because I was a bad fighter. You know what I'm saying? It was because of my style. Like, I always fought like a pro. I took my time. In the amateurs, you can't do that. You got to go out there and score. And you know what I mean? And know how to score. You know what I'm saying? The pros, I got in there. I sat down on my punches. I got to take my time, you know what I mean? Do things, see things, boom, hit him here, boom, hit him here, you know what I mean? So
right.
The pros is worlds apart. Yeah, it is two different worlds, you know what I'm saying? Because in the amateurs, you're scoring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I throw the jab the right way and it snap your head back, that's a score. But if I throw the jab in the pros, it'll make you, it's just to faint you so I can hit you with something else and make you hurt. I'm good at bringing the pain. I'm not good at scoring points. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do better in the pros. And a lot of people said that throughout my amateur career because I'm here to bring hurt or get hurt. That's what I'm here for. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's two different worlds, man. It's definitely two different worlds. And I respect everybody that's, you know, doing their thing in the amateurs because it's hard. I think amateur to succeed in amateur boxing is actually harder than to succeed in professional boxing. Because, like I said, Kid Chocolate, me and Kid Chocolate got the same background. Kid Chocolate actually has lesser amateur fights than me, and he's world champion. So that says a lot, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that says a lot.
Yeah, that stuns you in good stead. Yeah, that stuns you. How would you best describe your style? A professional would be like, what? How would you say your style is? Like someone who doesn't know you, how would you?
Well, from watching my pro debut on tape, what I see myself is I'm not necessarily a boxer, and I'm not I'm a fighter, man. Like, yeah, I'm not a wild out dude because I use my jab. You know, brawlers don't use their jab; they just come in. So I'm not that kind of guy. But you know, I use my jab a lot. I would say I'm a boxer, or you know, a counter puncher. Because I was doing a lot of counter punching in that pro debut. You know, every time the guy threw his right, I slipped and threw mine. You feel me? So that's what hurt him. So I would say, yeah, I'm like a boxer counter puncher or something like that, you know. But I would rather let other people tell you what I am than to sit here and tell you what I am. It's easy for me to say. You know what I mean? It's true.
Yeah,
it's easy
for
I can say I'm the best, you know what I mean? I can say I'm the best boxer in the world and I ain't shit. You know what I mean? So, you know, I would rather let, you know, people that spectate tell you what I am.
I'm definitely going to look for some footage of you after the show and whatnot and keep posted. Like I said, just for the sheer fact I like the way you're talking, I was going to look anyway, but now I'm going to go out of my way to make sure I watch you and keep updated on what's going on. So I'm going to go out of my way just for the sheer fact I like how you're talking in it. Like, you talk like me and I love that. That's what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People, I can keep saying
because
people are too PC in it, but.
Right, because, you know what I mean, before I became what I am, I was in love with it. I was a fanatic of it. You know what I'm saying? And then I had to look at it from a fan spectate. You know what I mean? So a fan's perspective. So now that I am what I am, I can be able to decipher, you know, what it is and what it ain't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I hear that. That's cool. Like I said, I'm definitely going to have to try and catch some footage and keep up with what's going on. Definitely, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
Jesse,
so So we're talking about Floyd earlier. Does Floyd come back for the 50th fight, or does he leave it alone?
Floyd is in a position where he could do whatever he wants. You feel what I'm saying? If you want to come back, he got enough money to throw a show on his own. He has enough money to be like, yo, let's just throw a Floyd Mayweather fight. I don't need CBS. I don't need nobody. Let's just throw one in the park or some shit. And that'll be his 50th fight. And you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he could do whatever he wants. He earned it. If he wants to come back, he can come back. You know, but yeah, I don't think he would because he's slowing down. You feel what I'm saying? I think guys like Keith Thurman and Amir Khan, who are hungry to be in that light, will eventually try to take it from him. So I wouldn't come back. You know, I wouldn't. I would just be like, you know, Errol Spence.
Right.
I mean, come on. That, you know, these guys are hungry. You feel what I'm saying? So I wouldn't.
I thought he was going to stay retired, too. Yo, I have a couple other boys that I don't know if you know them.
You think
one of my boys,
Jesse, before you carry on, you think he's actually going to stay retired, or do you think he's going to come back?
I think he's going to stay retired. I really don't see the need. He's been in the game for over 20 years. He's been champion for almost that long. Like, what else is there to prove? You know what I'm saying?
I'd like him to stay retired because I'm a big Mayweather fan. But I do see him coming back. I ain't gonna lie. Like, people have asked me, like, "Oh, do you think he'll come back?" Like, yeah, I genuinely do. I think he do.
That's kind of like people saying, you know, Tupac is alive, Elvis is alive somewhere. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So I believe that, man. You know, yeah, I mean. It is what it is, you know. We ain't mad at it.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's
one of my boys. I think it was he won light heavy or cruiserweight. He won Golden Gloves. Hervé, I don't know if you recognize him.
From New York.
Yeah. I grew up with him. Hervé, I forgot what year he won. Had to be like 07, 08.
Hervé, son from Freeport.
Yeah, he trained out in Freeport. Yeah, he's from
I know who he is. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is.
Yeah, you know, like, and something with him too. Like, I remember, I was asking him. I seen him at church one day. I'm like, you know what? I was like, you're not gonna go pro. He's like, nah, I'm too old and stuff. Like, what do you think about like that? Like the age? Is there an age limit to going pro, or do you think like, is there a certain cutoff when you're kind of like? Because I think he was 32 at the time. No, he was like, he's a year older than me, so he's 33 now. So this had to be when he was like 29, 30. So, is there a cutoff age when you go? All right, I can't be professional now because for me to build up the record. Or do you feel like you could be 35 and become professional?
I feel like it depends on the person. Genetics, you know, the way you think. Because, you know, my father's 50. My father's 53 and he looks like he's 30. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, well, not 30, but he looks like he's 35.
I got
you. Know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think it's the mind of the person. You know, Harvey probably just wanted to, Harvey, however you pronounce his name, he probably just wanted to do the Golden Gloves and, you know what I'm saying? But, I think that, you know, it depends on the individual. You feel what I'm saying? If that's in, because when I first started boxing, I was 17, 18 years old. And when I came in the game, I said, yo, I want to be a professional boxer. I don't want to be an amateur boxer. And you know what I'm saying? I want to be professional. Mm-hmm. But they was like, yo, you got to do the Golden Gloves. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do
See, it's funny that you said that because that I was actually going to ask that. You said you came in with a professional style. Is it mandatory to go through the amateurs? You don't have
That's
to,
That's what
right?
I'm saying. Like, you don't have to. It's good to have some amateur fights, like, for experience. Because sometimes you're going to get guys who have different styles. You're going to get wild guys. You're going to get guys who you know, who can box. You're going to get guys who want to brawl. So it's good to have a certain amount of fights. But it's not good to have 200 amateur fights. It's not good to have 500 amateur fights. Like, you're going to get burnt out by the time you well into your professional career. You're going to be burnt out. You feel what I'm saying? Because pro boxing is different from amateur boxing. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and it could probably affect you too, right? Because then you can't adjust into the professional style.
Exactly.
You
look at the situation. Perfect example. Who's the boy that came out the Olympics? Lomachenko, right? Lomachenko had one debut, boom, and then his next fight was a world title fight, right? With Salido. and Salido whooped. So he gave Salido a good fight, but Salido, that experience, that pro experience, kicked in midway through the fight, and he was just doing Lomachenko dirty, and he wound up retaining his title. So it just goes to show you that it's two different worlds, it's two different games. Chavez, to me, Chavez is one of the most complete professional fighters out there. You feel me? Him and James Toney, not Chavez Jr., Chavez Sr. and James Toney, to me, are the most complete professional fighters because they learned in the professionals. You know, guys that learned in the professionals are more, right, they're more dangerous than guys who learned in the amateurs. Because the guys that learned in the amateurs are the most protected. You feel what I'm saying? The guys like me that got to go out there and actually fight, we got to go out there and show you. We got to show and prove. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to be as protected. So don't be surprised when you see me fighting a guy that's 3-0 or 6-0. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's not bad business. It's just that, you know, hey, I'm a fighter. You know, you're a fighter. Let's do it.
You
want to
fight the best.
You know,
let's
right,
play.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time. One day I'm going to be too old to box. You feel what I'm saying? So, I don't have time to play around. But like I said, I like Chavez. I hope I'm not talking too much. But I like Chavez and I like James Toney because they learned as they went along in the pros. A lot of these guys still got their amateur styles coming into professional rankings. You feel what I'm saying? And that's sometimes their downfall. That's why you got guys losing, have losses, and they have 500 amateur fights, 200 amateur fights. By the time they're 23, they burnt the fuck out. They can't do shit no more. You feel what I'm saying? So it's just insane. You know?
I actually wanted to ask you, too, since you just made your debut, you know, that these questions relate more to you. Well, you can answer it more relatable now because is it hard to live the lifestyle, like the food, the diet that you stay on, the exercise routine, and, you know, you have to stay away from people, places, things, right? Like,
right, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
If your friends are going out for beers and stuff, you're not, yeah, and you're training,
right.
You have to stay in the gym. How much dedication do you need, and how hard is that when you're just starting?
You need 100% dedication when you're a professional fighter. You need 100% dedication. It's no cutting corners. There's no ways around it. I'm sorry, like you can't come in the box and thinking, oh, I'm a halfway do this, because there's a kid out there who's hungrier than you. There's a kid out there that can hit harder than you. There's a kid out there, he's going to fuck you up. You know what I'm saying? If you're not on top of your job. There's a meme out there that says boxers, part-time boxers only train when it's time to fight. Champions train year-round. You feel
right.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Yo,
yeah,
I train
to
every
yeah,
day.
That's true.
And for me, boxing is a lifestyle. You feel what I'm saying? It's a lifestyle. It's a religion to me. You feel what I'm saying? So getting up in the morning, going running is a religion. Or running at night is a religion. Going to the gym is my religion. Going seeing the conditioning coach is my religion. I have to do these things in order to keep my body in peak. I didn't even hit my full potential yet. You know what I'm saying? Because I was told I don't hit my potential until I'm about 30, in my 30s. So it's just like, you know, if I keep myself in training, constant training, by the time I hit my peak, I'm going to be on. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, so if I spend my time partying and drinking and doing all this other shit, messing with the hoes and shit, I'm not going to be nothing. By the time I hit my peak, I'm only going to be good for where the hoes. Yeah, I'm only going to be good for where the hoes at, where the drinks at.
But is there ever a day where you're like, let's say you do get a call from a, you know, girl like that, and you're at the gym, like, hey, yo, come over here tonight, or, you know, or,
yo,
like, your boys are like,
come
out for a drink, and you're like, is there ever that, like, yeah.
I'm going to keep it 100. If they do call me and there's a fight coming up, I got to curve them. I have to. because I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to embarrass my family. I'm not going to put my name to shame. I'm not going to put my manager on the spot because I wanted to go out and get some pussy. Or I wanted to go out and have, you know, yeah, because it's real talk. I got money invested in me. You feel what I'm saying? So when you got money invested with me, when you got people putting you up in camps and doing all these things, I can't put myself in a position to damage that. Because, and another thing with fighters is that I wasn't always a fighter. You know what I'm saying? So I did all those things. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, I wasn't, right. Y'all feel where I'm coming from. Like, I wasn't always a fighter. Like I said, I started fighting when I was 18. So from 14
so,
to
18.
So
you started a little late in. You started a little
late,
right?
I started late, yeah. So from 14 to 18, I was doing all the bad shit. You feel what I'm saying? I was drinking with the homies. I was fucking with the bitches. I did all that shit. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
It's nothing new to me. So when a girl called me and I'm in training, I'm like, baby, you know, I'm in training. After the fight, come see me. You feel what I'm saying? If not, then, you know what I mean? It is what it is. I can't. You know, I don't have no time to
that's
waste.
That's dedication,
you know,
right there. I respect
that
dedication.
So who did you sign with? You signed with somebody now, right?
Right. Well, it's a 2-fight deal right now with CS Promotions, but it's not official yet because I didn't fight for him yet. You know, both fights fell through. Right, yeah, both fights fell through, so it's not really nothing official yet. I'm signed with my manager, you know, Havoc, World of Havoc Management, but as far as you know, being signed with a promoter, I'm not signed with an actual promoter yet. So you know, I know it's going to happen because, like I said, I'm dedicated. You know what I mean? I do what I'm supposed to do. You know, in and out the gym, because what you do out the gym is just as important as what you do in the gym. So, you know, I mean, the right fighter's going to come along, and they're going to see. That's why I'm calling out this 7-0 kid. We want to make this fight happen. Nathan Miller, we want to make this fight happen. You know what I'm saying? And we want to show and prove. I want to show that I belong in that ring. You feel what I'm saying? And hopefully, yeah, somebody will pick me up after that. You feel me? But right now, I'm just freelancing.
Hey, if you keep talking about
Nathan Miller, can we get Nathan Miller on the phone for this guy? He's a cat.
That's your side, isn't it? That's over the Atlantic
guy. I just looked him up. He's on... But he's light heavy, so he would have to move up to you, or you go down to him.
Look, like I said, this fight I came in 173. He fought light heavyweight this weekend when they offered me the fight, but he fought Bongard Washington. I know Bongard Washington. He's from Brooklyn. We were supposed to fight Bongard Washington. You feel what I'm saying? Well, but Bongard pulled out. Bongard didn't want this work. So now it's like, okay, you know, he got that fight. I was supposed to been fight Bongard, but he got that fight. He wound up beating Bongard or whatever. So it's like I was left stuck in the mud, and I'm looking at him like, okay, you know, you 6-0, but I know you ain't shit. You know, you ain't really fight nobody. And that's the thing, like, in boxing today. In boxing today, everybody wants to protect that O. Like, you know, like they Floyd. They want to feel like they Floyd. I want to feel like a fighter. Fuck that O. You feel what I'm saying? I want to be tested. Because, you know, like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's do it. It's really like,
I hear that.
You know.
No, it's true.
You know, Marvin Hagler didn't have an O. You know what I'm saying? And he's one of the greatest fighters of all time. And it's funny, I kept mentioning Marvin Hagler throughout this interview because, yeah, that's the mentality a fighter should have. Every time you go in there, you should have a war mentality. You feel what I'm saying? You should go in there and
want to
fight.
Be the best. Yeah, you should want to be the best.
Or,
I agree with that.
Is that a O don't make you a being undefeated, being unbeaten don't make you the best. I'm sorry, it don't. Because there's a dude right now in Argentina who's 49-0, and nobody knows who he is.
But real
boxing fans, real boxing fans know about this guy. He's 49-0 with like 5 knockouts. and nobody knows who he is. He was 49-0 before Mayweather was 49-0. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, I did actually hear about that. Yeah.
His name's like Cesar Cuneca or something like that. I don't know, something weird. I know who you're talking
about. He's one of them weird dudes.
I should have asked this before, but where do you fight in the resorts world? Because I've been there a few times. I like gambling. where do you guys fight at?
I think I believe it was the third floor, one of them floors, man. I mean, that night I was so high, man. Like, after I knocked that dude out, I was like in a high. Not a high drugs or nothing. I mean, I was just, like, so happy that, you know what I mean? Like, I was just somewhere else. So it was just, like, but we fought somewhere. I don't know. I think where they do performances at or whatever. So, but it was cool. They had screens up and shit so people could see. But, it was a cool night, man. It was real cool. I was happy, you know. So I couldn't complain.
I could sit in it. No, man, like I said, the way you talking, that like people are, someone's gonna pick you up in it, yeah, because you seem. I can already tell that you trash talking it. Like I like that in it, like in my boxes. Like you seem like you'd be a character. I'm doing.
This is competition. You know what I mean? This is competition. This isn't. You know, let's be nice to each other. We fighting. This is what it is. We have to fight each other. You know. Like, this is not a debate. We're not here to debate. We're here to fight.
Yeah, we're here to fight.
You feel what I'm saying?
So to fight and fight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And I like to clear something up. On BoxRec, I'm listed as a cruiserweight. I'm really a light heavyweight, and I'm working my way down to a super middleweight. I'm not a cruiserweight. So, you know, I'm not going to be fighting guys 200. Right, I'm not going to be fighting guys 200 pounds. I'm listed as a cruiserweight because I weighed in 180. The contract was at 180, my pro debut. So I made 180. I was on the lighter side of the cruiserweight division, not the heavier side. I'm not a natural 200 pounder. You feel what I'm saying? That's not me. I don't walk around 200 pounds. I walk around 185. I walk around 184. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a light guy. You know what I mean?
All right, so you're going to be fighting. And is your weight, like, predominantly for the future going to be light heavyweight? Or are you going to be a super middleweight?
Yeah, like around that range, maybe 170 pounds or 61. Yeah, like a 68. Because like I said, Friday I weighed in 173. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, maybe in the future, wherever the money's at, I'll fight 168, 175.
Yeah, the money's at 168. You know. That's a stacked division, isn't it? I want to see you at 168.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie.
Hey.
I'm not your manager, but I'm just advising you.
Right, yeah. Because, yeah, the money's at 168, then, hey, we making 168. I don't have time to waste, you know what I mean? Real talk.
That's exactly what it is. That's where the money is. It's at 168. That's where everybody is. 100%.
You got to reach out to Al Heyman for an advisor, man. That dude is well off right now.
I spoke to my uncle about Al Heyman, and he said, my uncle always messes with me, man. He messes with me, but he said, yo, you get to 10-0, we'll talk to Al Heyman. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, man.
Like, what up?
Become a Heyman guy,
how
man.
About I?
Yeah,
I mean, hey, you know. I let God handle, you know, things that I can't. So you know what I mean. Like I'm just gonna continue to work hard and strive for the best and see what happens.
Now let me ask you something. You said you're going down to super middle. Now is that just because you think that that's more publicity there and more money in the long run,
or is your body telling you that?
I think it's my body telling me because you know, I was making light heavyweight, and as I was, you know, going down to 175, and in the process of going down to 175, I wound up making 173. You know what I'm saying? And in the amateurs, maybe my second year as an amateur, I fought at 164 pounds. I fought at middleweight at 165, but I actually made 164 pounds. So, you know, I think it's my body telling me that I'm a natural, you know, a guy that's supposed to be walking around 170 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel better, you know, I look better, you know, I'm not as heavy. So, you know, I mean, I think it's my body. But also 168 is a hot division. Everybody's there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to, I might not have to worry about guys pulling out on me because, you know what I mean? So I think
it's right. Yeah. Everyone's there. Yep. That's exactly why I see that, Jesse. That's exactly why I said it. Like, 168 is... Yeah. Like, that's a hot division right now. Like, I think behind the welterweight division, that's the most stuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I said, you know what? They said the next show is in December. I said, all right, you know, let's make 168. The next show is in December. Let's do 168. Let's do it. Mm. We'll do it. You know what I mean? That's what? It's October right now. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good, man. Get to you again. Keep racking up them victories, getting them wins, and
yes, sir.
Go from there. Like I said, someone will fight you there anyway. Definitely, especially the way you talk, and you'll piss someone off.
I don't mean to come off as a guy that just talks a lot of shit. I just want to be, you know, I just want to make my mark in the game. That's all. That's all. It doesn't have to be a big mark. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a huge mark. It just has to be a mark. That's it. You know? Enough mark to make to be, you know, recognized. That's all. But yeah,
that's what's up, man. So, freaking Big Time, you there? Big Time, you got... Big Time texting me like, oh man, this guest is great. Yo, Big Time, I want to get in there,
man. Serious?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
making
here.
The show hot right now.
Yeah, this turned into almost an hour long basic interview. Great stuff.
What's up?
I said this turned into an hour long classic interview.
Yeah. Yeah, man, we gotta head down to when you get if your second fight, where's your second fight gonna be? Is that I'm sorry if you said it already. Is that gonna be in Connecticut or?
I believe the venue is Twin Rivers Casino in Rhode Island, but I'm not too sure yet. Like I said, I gotta, you know, once I get back with my team once I get word from my team and they tell me everything, I'll be able to, you know, be able to tell people and let people know what's going on.
Yeah, we followed you on Twitter, so follow us back, man. Keep us updated, and, you know, we'll keep the fans updated for you as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm definitely going to be looking out for your fight too, as I've said previously. I like the way you talk to them. Straight from the hip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just going down your Twitter. This is so funny. The 0-2 guy didn't board the plane. The 6-0 guy said, we don't want to fight Mike Marshall.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yo, hey, this is what we're being told. You know what I mean? It's like I said, this is fighting. You know, my manager's wife said today, if niggas was in the street fighting, you know what I'm saying? You can't look up their record. You can't, you know what I mean? She made an excellent point, and it's the truth. You can't look up niggas in the street record. I had plenty of street fights. You feel what I'm saying? You can't look up their record in the street. You can't look up how many knockouts they got. You can't look at how much they weigh. If you got beef, you just got to scrap. And that is what it is.
So I get to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. All right, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. Is this going to be recorded in any way? Is there any way I could play it?
Yeah, we got it, man. We sent you.
Even up, go on, Jesse.
We just tweeted you. The link should be tweeted to you. We'll tweet it to you again.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, cool.
Because it's recorded live. Man, yeah. No problem, man. Because, like, it's going out now, live now.
It was real nice talking to you.
Time. Yeah, man, we'll have you back on the show, definitely.
Absolutely. Anytime y'all want me to come back on the show and talk to y'all, I'll be more than happy to, man. I like what y'all doing.
Definitely,
yeah, man.
We're
trying to give a platform to everyone in the boxing world out here. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
Platforms
thank
for this, and he can say what he wants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is great. Thank you.
All right, man. All right,
thanks, man.
Great having you on, man.
All right, y'all.
All right, man.
All right.
Fly Mike Marshall, man. It was good, man. Yeah, that was
the hit Olympia.
Yeah, he's a good,
that
he's
was
a
one
guest.
Of the that was the one of the most entertaining guests we've had, man. I like thoroughly enjoyed that interview, and just you know he was just keeping it 100, which I love, you know, from not getting caught up with girls.
I'm sitting there like this interview is great, but it's like an hour long, and I'm gonna have to transcribe that shit for boxing scene.
just condense it down into however you want to condense it down in it.
But there's so many good points.
What he was saying was, I mean, you know. He wasn't shy for words, you know, and he was well spoken to at Olympia Fly Mike Marshall. I haven't seen him yet, but I can't wait to check him out, man. And then I thought he was originally a cruiserweight, so it turns out he's a light heavy, working down his way to middle, super middle. So yeah, man, that should be fun, man. And. We
yo, if that's
didn't,
in Connecticut,
we finished,
Jesse, we're sending you there.
Yo, man, I would love to go there, man.
It's CES, so I can get the credentials. That ain't no thing.
Oh, so let's go, man. I'm there. Yeah, I got you. Whatchamacallit? Yeah, man. We're there, and Flawless is in the UK, man. I'm telling Flawless, yo, he has to go to the events out there, you know?
Yeah, I told you, I'm waiting on my boy who we've had on the show, James, and I'm waiting for him to get sorted and we go to shows. And you understand, no one in my circle's a boxing fan like that. So it's like, I want to go to events, but I'm not going to go by myself. But he's like, he's ongoing to events. So it's like, he's called in in a while, but he's called in the show before. But as soon as he's up and running, I'm definitely going to be going to events and whatnot. 100%. Like, I wanted to go to the Cal Brook fight, but that got cancelled because he got injured.
Right.
Yeah, he got injured, yeah.
Freaking, why did he get injured, by the way?
Did you know he got rib injury in training? Rib?
What's that?
Rib injury, I think. Rib.
It was a rib injury.
RIB. Yeah, rib injury. He gets injured a lot, though,
yeah,
in training.
I think two
out of three times he was going to fight Alexander, he got injured as well. So he seems to get injured a lot. Maybe
yeah, that's true.
Gary Chavez
is a wrong choice of opponent for Brooke. All risk, no real reward.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Because me and Boxing, I was talking about it, because we were talking about the whole Khan Brook thing. And I was like, why don't Khan fight? And I'm like, because Brook keeps giving Khan room to maneuver. Because it's like, if Khan Brook over here in the UK is already a massive fight, worldwide, like over in the US, there's not a big fight. Over here, it's a massive fight. Over there, it's not a massive fight. Because Brook hasn't got a name out there. And I think he has the skills to be a top contender out there and a no name. It's just that his resume is terrible. That's the problem. And this is what I was saying.
Yeah,
like, you take Sean Porter off his resume, and his resume is like, who's his best win? Like, I was like, who's his three best wins? It's like, that's why he's giving Khan room to maneuver, especially in the welterweight division, which we've we've already discussed on numerous occasions how hot that division is, and you fight Diego Chavez. Right.
But
Chavez credit, he did have a draw with Bradley, and he was beaten Rios until the disqualification. So he's a tough guy, but the guy fights for. I just don't get it. He fights these big fights for short money on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
If I was Chavez, I'd be wanting to get paid.
That's just another mismanaged career. You know, you hear about it all the time in boxing. Like when we had Darnell Boone on, Darnell Boone's resume has to be one of the most mismanaged. I mean, this guy has been in the ring with literally everybody where they wouldn't even see each other from.
Yeah, his resume is ridiculously good.
If Boone had better management, it would have been a different career.
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%.
I remember watching ESPN Friday Night Fights when he sparked Adonis Stevenson out cold.
Right.
Such a vicious knockout.
And he told us a story about that when we had him on, that he didn't even have a cornerman. And I think he took the fight on like 13 days' notice or something. And that the ring told him that he needed a cornerman, and he basically just told his brother, yo, just stand on my corner, you're my cornerman. And his brother was like, I don't know what to do. And he just said,
you know how
don't do nothing, just give me water.
Work a corner?
That is
like, to get
so
licensed to work a corner, you just show up to the fight, fill out the license form, pay the fee, and you're a licensed corner.
Oh, that is that all? Yeah, but most people.
Yeah, I did it before. In Texas.
Oh, really? Who did you do it for? Was that the Friday Night Fight that you came out on? Was that the one?
Yeah, Delray Reigns when he fought Mean Joe
Green. How did you find it? How did you find it?
Fine. What do you mean?
Like being in the corner. You know,
how did you get the opportunity to do it?
Yeah.
It was just through connections. Through somebody I knew, and he's like, hey, you want to come down? I mean, I didn't do much. I just held a spit bucket, so it wasn't like that exciting. I didn't jump in the ring and start like yelling at him, hitting him with water.
No, but
that's where I met Repo Rick. That's where I met Repo Rick. I should have did what he did and just stood in the corner screaming at the fighter, throwing water at him.
he's a funny guy, man. He's called
the character.
Repo, man. Oh, man. He just, if we let him go, man, he could just rant for 2 hours about something.
Now, the best corner person I ever seen, this fighter, Ricardo Williams, top amateur dude. He didn't have the best of pro careers. I mean, he's still in there. He still gets some wins. But he had this guy standing, like, in his corner in, like, a green suit that just continuously screams, Slicky Ricky time. The entire fight.
Oh, man, that's hysterical, bro. But that's, I forgot you. Did Del Rey win that fight, or?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Why? So when you was in his corner, was you giving him, like, tactics and, like, how to strategize, or was you just, like, just
no,
in
no,
the corner?
He said he was just holding
in the corner.
I was straight holding the bucket, like, yo, here, you can spit.
You just straight holding the bucket, all right.
But you
I should have made him strategy.
You made your ways around a little bit, right? You were in a couple training gyms there with up-and-comers, right? Or even more than up-and-comers.
I was in his training gym. I was in Mayweather's camp for, I think it was the Cotto fight. And
that must have been an experience.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Did you get to see him? Did you get to see him spar? Yeah, right?
Yeah. I remember he was sparring Ishae Smith, a couple other guys. The sparring gets real in the Mayweather gym. Like, they don't play around over there.
What, the dog
people pounds? Can hate on Mayweather all they want. But that man trains his ass off like I've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's just shown by this is when he does fight. But, yeah, I don't think his, I don't think his work ethic has ever been brought into question. But he lost the first Castillo fight. Ah, I forgot to ask my question. Flawless, man.
Oh, yeah, thank God. I'm so glad you forgot. Oh, I mean, it was great.
Wesley, he asked everybody if they thought Floyd lost the first Castillo fight.
Yeah, we have, it's a segment on, it's an actual segment on the show. We call it the Mayweather Castillo one, Jesse. That's what it's called, Mayweather Castillo segment. Like, we actually have the segment on the show.
I think a majority of the people actually say Castillo won that fight, tell you the truth.
Nah, it's 50-50. Don't be trying shit. We can go back and check the footage, you know. Nah, it's not even 50-50, it's like 60-40 Mayweather.
Everybody wants the underdog to win. It's America.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves
like
the
Jesse,
underdog.
Jesse's like that. Jesse's one of them guys. He's always backing the underdog.
Oh.
Back in the
I remember when Jesse convinced me to bet on Ricky Hatton versus Manny Pacquiao. I lost so much money.
That sounds like a Jesse type move, to be honest. That is Jesse all over that type of thing. That's what it is.
Tim actually called me out on that. Tim said, I used to call the Tim show first. And that's how it started. I first used to just call the show and stuff. And Tim was like, I figured Jesse out. He just picks the person that everybody's saying is going to lose. And then when and if they do win, he brags about it the whole time.
Yeah, you always pick a brawler. You know what style you like. If there's a brawler versus a boxer, you'll always pick the brawler to win.
Hey, I'll tell you this.
If I would have known Aaron Martinez was a 50-1 underdog against Devin Alexander, I'd have threw some money on that fight.
Devin
Alexander, Aaron Martinez. We didn't even spoke about that. That's a good. I forgot about that fight actually. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm gonna make Al Heyman's job a little bit easier. What he needs to do right now is make Felix Diaz versus Devin Alexander. And Aaron Martinez versus Lamont Peterson. But that fight, that's crazy. Like, there was supposed to be a tune-up fight for Alexander, but they should have took a closer look at the Guerrero fight. And Martinez should have got that nod against Guerrero, which he lost a split decision. So they had it now at the same time. Martinez isn't a tune-up-based opponent. Like, he's a tough son of a bitch.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately for Alexander, he had to find that out the hard way. Now he has to go back to the drawing board.
Hey, I'll tell you this much, though. I'm picking Terrence Crawford this week.
Oh, yeah, of course he's going back against Terrence Crawford.
But
if you're going back against Terrence, you're going to like it's a misdemeanor. Like, I've been saying Terrence Crawford is, since we started the show, like I've said, how good I believe Terrence Crawford is. And I do believe once he finally does move up to 147, he beats everybody there.
Hey, Crawford's a beast.
Crawford
needs to go to Heyman ASAP.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll get out of that, though. He won't be at Top Rank for it. I think they'll build him up because Top Rank could do that. And then when he reaches a certain point, he'll go across the street. Without doubt.
What they need to do is offer him a contract extension and be like, listen, if you sign this contract extension, we'll give you the Pacquiao fight. Because I was saying on Twitter today, they need to get him ready to be a pay-per-view star. And
he doesn't need to
fight a guy like Gary Jean or Jean, whatever his name is.
He needs a Pacquiao fight.
Or a Khan fight, even.
I could see Aram doing that, like, because it does build up. That if he does fight Pacquiao and he does beat Pacquiao, that puts Crawford on a whole other level. And I think he stops Pacquiao as well.
The problem is Crawford's running out of opponents. Unless he gets out of that Top Rank contract and goes to Heyman, he's screwed. Heyman's not going to put a fighter in against Crawford.
Yeah,
not a chance in hell.
That's true. Well, obviously you got Pacquiao over there. Bradley's over that side of the street. Rios is over there. It's not the best options for this mall.
I think he'll clean up
on that side and then come across the street. Say again?
I don't know. You're right. I forgot about some of those guys up at 147.
Yeah. Bradley and Rios are fighting soon.
Mm.
I was actually
going to break Alvarado out of rehab.
Yeah, there's another one. So, yeah, that's three or four guys there that he could stretch out. I mean, where you can get a good couple, 2-3 years out of, definitely. Not the best options, but not the worst either.
I would love to see him versus, like, Marcus Medina or Maidana.
Oh, that'd be a great fight. If Maidana does manage to make it back and get hungry again, that'd be a great fight.
Okay. Oh, he's hungry.
That'd be a very, very...
He's sitting at, like, 170 pounds, so he's real hungry.
Yeah, he's real hungry, as I'm saying, yeah. As people are saying, I'd love to see Maidana back. Because, like I said, there's so many fights at 147, I'd like to see him. And against all those type of guys, Garcia, Paul, Furman, Cotton rematch.
I would literally kill to see him versus Provokanov.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's another one. That'd be a bango. That would be a
Jesse,
bango.
What were you saying?
Nah, I want to know who you got for the for the Bradley Reals fight, man.
Oh, Bradley.
Oh, you got, I got
Bradley,
Reals.
See what I'm saying? This is why we call
Bradley,
him Big Tim in it.
What's that?
If Bradley is, he can be drug into a firefight, and he can be drug into it fairly easy. It all depends on what Teddy Atlas is. If Teddy Atlas tightens him up on that, and Bradley comes in and boxes, Reyes has no chance. Reyes' only chance is dragging Bradley into a dogfight, which we've seen Bradley get drug into a dogfight before. But I'm hoping the trainer switch will play a part in him not falling for it. Now, don't get me wrong, as a boxing fan, I would like to see him fall for it a couple times so we could see a nice little war on our hands. But I expect Bradley to outbox him to a 12-round decision.
Yeah, I can see that. I got Reals winning, but, yeah, basically
it's what
you said. You know, if Reals gets him into a war... He has, you know, he has a real good shot at winning this thing.
I've never seen Tim Bradley versus Provokanov was the first time I've ever seen somebody knocked out on their feet and come back too from another punch.
Right. That's true.
Bradley has a chin of steel, a heart of steel, and he's a hard guy to beat, but. I don't know, man. You got to reevaluate Reyes. You got to look back at his past few fights, too. He had the 9th-round DQ victory over Chavez. It was giving him that work. And then, like, that's being based off of him knocking out a completely shot-out Alvarado.
Yeah,
right.
He looked disinterested in the
right.
start Alvarado in that fight. He did. He looked disinterested.
Well, and Alvarado just got arrested for, like, gun possession.
Yeah, he was elsewhere. His mind was elsewhere. But yeah, it will be interesting to see Bradley. We also think that could be a better fight than people are expecting it to be. Whether Bradley decides to go to war with him or outboxes him, like I think it'll be an entertaining fight.
I think it's going to be a great fight. Where is that at? That's HBO, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying that's not HBO pay per view. That's it. That's just regular HBO, right?
Yeah, no, that's pretty HBO.
Yeah. Tim, could you just shout out your Twitter, because I was going to ask you, can you actually keep us updated when you find out the numbers that the Triple G fight did? Because I'm interested in finding that out. You're probably going to find out before all of us. No, wait, what's your Twitter? Yeah, you were kind of away from the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's at Big Time Timmy, STG.
All right. Cool,
yeah, just go
man.
On
yeah,
my
I'm,
just
I'm,
go
I'm,
on my Twitter or Jesse's Twitter, and you'll see it, people. If you want to get at Big Timmy, you can see it. He's on my. If you go on my Twitter or Jesse's, you'll see his name in the app for the show and whatnot. Definitely.
Right.
So you can find him there.
Right. So we'll be back, man. You know, follow us on Twitter. We'll keep you updated on what we're coming back. We're going to be coming back with another show. Yo, Tim, man, thanks for joining us, man. This is going to be mad cool, man. We're going to take over the boxing radio airwaves, man. Big time. Send me with the boxing eye. I don't know where the hell he went.
Maybe he got tired from yesterday. He fell asleep early.
No, no worries, man. Shout out to Boxing Eye, man. He deserves a day off, man. He dealt with you all day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It was cool.
Yeah, I got to wait. Yeah, because he was going to call me Triple G's Nuts for the whole show anyway, so it's a good thing he missed it, because I would have had to endure that for the whole show. But we're out of here, man. At That's Me Flawless, who's, it's like freaking 6 in the morning over there. I don't know how the hell.
Yeah, it's like 12 to 5. I'm about to go sleep, and I'm tired of shit. But yeah, man, salute to everyone supporting the Cardinal Radio anyway.
And boxingscene.com, the number one boxing site, anyway. Shout out to them and stuff. But yeah, go ahead, Full. Let's take us out of here, man.
I'm not taking this out. So yeah, man, thanks again. You've listened this. Thanks for everyone supporting all the previous episodes. Make sure you check this one back. You can follow myself on Twitter at That's Me Flawless. You can get Jesse on Twitter at Jesse Recon 1. Go on either of our pages to find Big Tim's at Twitter. Oh yeah, Box and I wasn't on the show today, but get him. Shout out to the other guests we had. We had Marshall on the show as well. He was a great guest and whatnot. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, like I said, salute to Complex UK as well. Yeah, Montel Griffin, that was the one. Sorry, I'm tired, and it's 20 to 5. Y'all know how we do some professional shit. Like, the numbers have been looking good, though, so thank you to everyone supporting and whatnot. All right, man, and we'll be back with another show at some point next week. Not sure what day. And then we'll have, over the weekend, we're going to have Andy Vences on the show anyway, over the next weekend. So he'll be back on talking about his last fight that he won. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Anything you want to add, Jesse?
No, we're out of here.